Okay, Erev Tov, we continue the Rambam Mor Nevuchim. We're on chapter 73, and we're going to discuss the 12 premises of the Muta Kalamim. Okay, remember, the Rambam is critical of those religious philosophers whose methodology is that of being an apologetic. And they put their faith before the science, okay? And so therefore, he's got, and that was what the Kalamin or Muta Kalamin were known for. Remember, we're dealing with the four primary issues. The four primary issues, there's how did the world come into existence, number one. Number two, the existence of Hashem. The oneness of Hashem, or the oneness of the deity, and the lack of corporeality. Those are the four ideas. So the Kalamuns have 12 main theories, and we're going to go through six of them today with God's help, and hopefully the other six tomorrow. Oh. But before we do the 12, let's jump to point one in the middle. From the Shlomo Pine's translation of the Mor Nevuchim, which is in two volumes, and it's in the of the translator's introduction. So this will be a little review and little new stuff. So he writes, it should, when he, and he discusses certain sections of the book. It should also be noted that Maimonides' premises of the Muta Kalamim, what we're going to learn right now, as well as his premises of the philosophers, are mainly or indeed exclusively concerned with physical science. If, in accordance with the medieval classification, the concept of this science is extended so as to include the psychology of perception, meaning to say, do we perceive things as they are or not? And the regular scientists said, yes, we can perceive them. What we see is what we perceive, while the Kalamim said, no, we can't trust even our perceptions. So this was this psychology of perception. But whereas the propositions of the philosophers expound the account for the order and the causality of the cosmos, in other words, the scientists say there's an order to the science. There's an orderly fashion, a predictable thing, and that's what happens. That was because that's what they're seeing. The principles of the Muta Kalamim, such as their atomism, which we'll discuss, the assumption that everything that can be imagined can happen, and so on, are meant to prove that no causality and no permanent order exist in the world. All events are determined directly without the intervention of intermediate causes by the will of God, which is not bound by any law. In other words, there is no cosmos, there is no nature, and these two Greek notions being replaced by the concept of congeries of atoms with atomic accidents inherent in them being created in every instant by arbitrary acts of divine volition. Which, in other words, and we're going to go through it again when we go through the 6 points, whereas is there a nature that exists, that is reliable, what we see every day, these things are happening, there's a natural order, and it could be that the deity set up that order, or the Kalamists say, no, that every second is a new creation, and therefore they have other rules that come to that. And there's no science and no order at all to these things.
How would they explain the consistency of what we see in the world?
Okay, so we're going to go now into the six. We're going to explain it. So let's take a look with number one. Okay, atoms exist and make up everything. Now, they didn't understand atoms the way we understand atoms, but they're saying they're very, very itty-bitty little pieces of whatever it is. But they said a few more things. They said that every atom is exactly the same. Now, you're going to ask, well, wait a minute. How do you have different things if every atom is the same? We'll see in a minute. And the atoms, they don't have to exist by the laws of physics, okay? And we'll see what that means in a minute, but those atoms are recreated every second. He doesn't have this idea of atomic weight or something like that that we now understand. Now, the Calamists were sort of correct, by saying there's atoms, they were sort of correct, while the philosophers that they did not believe in atoms. So the Calamists were a little bit more on track, but the way they understood the atoms was a very corrupted way of that happening, okay? Now, second point they say is vacuums exist and are the stuff between atoms. In other words, you got these atoms, and as small as they are, there's small little empty spaces in between the atoms. So in other words, there's no contiguous universe. There's no one unit.
Not attached.
Okay? And therefore, and the atoms really, can't move, so to speak, unless there was some space. Okay? So he's saying there's got to be some space for those atoms to move. Okay? These are just general ideas. I don't want to get so much bogged down into all the sundry details over here because he refutes it anyway. But he wants to present that. Now, just like he says that matter is made, they say matter is made of very, very small particles, and there's a little space in between them. He says the same thing by time. Time is also atomic, meaning there's no flow of time, and every moment is now. And this now stops. And there's a new now that happens a nanosecond later than that. And then the next second, another nanosecond, another new now that is a brand new creation that did not exist before. In other words, they're mainly saying God, every second, is doing everything. Instead of a scientific way of saying, look, what we observe is that things just continue to go on. And that's a natural thing. And they're saying no. Because they're hesitant to say, remember, the philosophers are saying there's no God. Remember, the philosophers, scientists say there's no God. We don't see a God. There could be maybe some prime cause, but it's not God. So the Calamists saying there has to be God. And God's all powerful. So if God's all powerful, so he's in charge of every single thing. So therefore, everything we see is made up of little particles. And those particles only exist just like the particles in the physical plane. There's one particle, then another one, another one. So now in terms of time, there's a particle of time, a moment in time. That was, so this that the United States Vice President is a Calamist.
A moment in time. There's no connection between each moment and moment, according to these guys.
According to these people.
No,
in other words, one second. So there's no such thing, according to them, of past, present, and future.
Right.
No continuum. But you have this time, God created this second with this particle, and then the next second, a brand new one is created. Now, how is it that everything looks like it's going smoothly? So it's like, if you remember, they made those cartoons. So you have like a million little pieces of paper with just a wee little shift on that, and you're flipping it by. So every second is a new created moment in time that's just a little bit more or whatever than that last second that was beforehand.
Can we believe the same thing?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Hold on. We will get to all of this. By the time we finish this sheet, you're right, but there is differences over here. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, what's going to make everything different now? So far, he's basically said every atom is identical.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. They weigh the same, look the same, everything. Every moment in time is identical. So wait a minute. So how come you have a blue shirt and you have a red shirt? How come you're short? The other guy's tall. Whatever. So now comes the fourth, which is very important. Every substance must possess, quote unquote, accidents. Now, how do we translate accidents over here to be understood as an attribute, which makes every atom different by what God does to the atom? In other words, when God recreates, makes the particle for that second, he puts a quality, an attribute into that atom. For that second. The atom itself doesn't create that.
Well, it has no nature.
Actually, it has no nature. God puts a nature in it that atom will create brown hair. And then the next second later, that atom again will create brown hair. And every second, it creates brown hair. Now, God could... Until that was an accident. That means it's not inherent to the particle. God creates the particle every moment, and he creates the attribute for the particle every moment. And these bunch of particles makes up Romeo. That's one accident. And this one makes Mark. It's totally different attributes and totally different accidents. That makes Mark, Mark. Okay, and they continue to reproduce every moment. And if God wanted to, he could now have the person sitting to my left be Mark, and the person to my right could be Romeo, without any difficulty for God to do that. Okay, now number five, these accidents reside in the atoms. And which he means to say, an atom cannot exist without an attribute. So you got like these parv atoms. The world is full of parv atoms. And every second, God puts an attribute into every little atom.
Stem cells.
And then every moment after he does that. Which is really the Calamus version of Homer and Sura. Because we've got the Homer is the particle. And Hashem, or God, puts the tzura, that attribute, that accident, into the atom. And that creates the atom that you have. And all of those little atoms together create that entity that exists. Okay. Now, number six is what really is the big one over here. Six and ten will be the major points of the Calamus. So let's look at six, very short in words, but we'll see what it means. Each accident exists for only an instant. So what does that mean? First of all, what he is saying is there's no such thing as rules of nature. The scientists are saying, no, that whatever that first entity created things and put them the way they are, and they stay the way they are. They stay the way they are, and they're very predictable. And unless something earth-shattering happens, that predictability continues. And you don't, and because the sun existed a minute ago, is the very reason why it's going to exist now. It's going to continue to exist. Which means the difference is there causality or is there not causality? In other words, causality means that something causes something that causes something that causes something, right? And therefore, the item existed a minute ago, and that's going to be a reason for it to exist for another minute. And it'll continue to exist unless something else interferes with it. So the fact that we are alive, the scientists, the philosophers say, well, the fact that you were alive a minute ago is a good reason to say you're going to be alive now as a continuation of what was there. And because of that, the time is a continuum, goes together, and now there's a past, and there's a present, and there's a future. According to the Calamus, there's only one thing, the present. That's all there is. Because the past, there is no past.
Well, there's no connection to the
past. There's no connection to the past. At all.
Brand new word.
There's no connection. So now, of course, there's questions. How does anybody remember anything? So the Calamus say God's new attribute, accident, is he puts you in with a memory of the thing that happened before.
What happened before.
Right. That's why. Till you get that, that has to be a new attribute, a new accident that God gives. Yeah. So you're changing it.
Moment to moment.
Mm. Now, what forces this to come out of this when you're going to say there's no causality and nothing causes anything and there's no cause and effect, this will have a major philosophical issue of free will. Mm. Okay? Because now, what are you telling me? Well, just like the sun, every minute is a new existence of it. So what about you? What about me? Every minute, God wills the next thing to happen over there. Every second. So every second, as I'm deciding to speak.
But there is no decision. There is no decision. According to the calendar.
Right, there's no decision.
That's not your program for that second.
That's what Hashem is. Exactly. The devil made me do it.
And that's true.
Hashem programs me the next nanosecond, the next nanosecond, the next nanosecond.
He's a calamus, flip-flops.
Okay, well, the scientists will say, no, God, nature gave you a continuous existence, so you have a past, present, and future, and then you will determine what's good and not good. You have a choice. Now, if you don't believe in God, then the free will choice doesn't really matter much, only in terms of civil law that human beings make. Okay, so they're gonna stop short. They're gonna say it's not God who did it; it's the nature of the world, which existed forever, created that consistent reality, and it also created an idea of that. Well, okay, a man can make choices. While the Calamists are going to the side, and this is where the Rambam, who he said, you know, they have their imaginations, right? And anything that you can imagine is possible. So according to their shitas, what has to be is man has no free will choice. It can't be. If God's in charge of everything, right? Every second, every second. And God's deciding every second what's going to happen. So where's your free will choice? And therefore, when you do something wrong,
how can you be responsible?
Well, God made that happen. Okay, that is the basic. Now we're going to take this last idea and we're going to work with it. There's a whole piece of Rambam, Michtav Melio, and Aryeh Carmel. We'll see if we can get all that in tonight. If not, we'll go to tomorrow. It's at a question mark? Or somebody had a question?
How can you be held responsible for your actions? If you're constantly being recreated, that's not me.
After I did the bad thing, the next second, that's not me.
That's somebody else. I don't know.
So what do you want?
There's the culpability.
Okay, so let's take a look at how the Rambam deals with this in Shmona Prakim. So we're only going to look at the English. It's only three or four paragraphs, but it's not a hard read. Okay.
One paragraph.
And this idea is about free will. Shmona Prakim is the introduction to Pirkei Avos. And obviously the whole idea of Midos and this and that, where the Calamists would have no need for Pirkei Avos. So he writes, as regard the theory generally accepted by people, and likewise found in rabbinical and prophetic writings, that man's sitting and rising, and in fact all of his movements, are governed by the will and desire of God, it may be said that this is true only in one respect. Thus, for instance, when a stone is thrown into the air and falls to the ground, it is correct to say that the stone fell in accordance with the will of God. For it is true that God decreed that the earth and all that goes to make it up should be the center of attraction, meaning gravity, so that when any part of it is thrown into the air, it is attracted back to the center. So that you could say, yeah, that's by God. But then again, we'll say that's a principle that God created. Similarly, all the particles of fire ascend according to God's will, which preordained that fire should go upward. But it is wrong to suppose that when a certain part of earth is thrown upward, God wills at that very moment that it should fall. This is where he disagrees with the Calamists.
Right.
The Calamists are saying you throw the earth upward, and now every nanosecond, God decides what's going to happen.
And he can decide to leave it right there
for
10 minutes, right in the middle of the air.
Well, the Rambam says, no, God created the laws of nature,
right.
And yeah, you could say it's God's will that the laws of nature should function. And guess what? And they're not going to change.
He could stop.
What?
Hashem could stop.
But he's not going to, and he's not willing it every second, so to speak. Okay.
Well, he did. But
we have to remember how that happens. And when did God decide that?
Creation.
Ah, he decided at creation, so now it goes according to program anyway.
Yes.
Now, back to the bottom. The mitukalimum are, however, of a different opinion in this regard. For I've heard them say that the divine will is constantly at work, decreeing everything from time to time. We do not agree with them, but believe that the divine will ordained everything at creation, and that all things at all times are regulated by the laws of nature and run their natural course in accordance with Shlomo Melech says, as it was, so it shall ever be. As was made, so it continues, and there is nothing new under the sun. This occasioned the sages to say that all miracles that deviate from the natural course of events, whether they've already occurred or according to promise are to take place in the future, were foreordained by the divine will during the 6 days of creation.
Here we go.
Nature being then so constituted that those miracles which were to happen really did afterwards take place. Then when such an occurrence happened at its proper time, it may have been regarded as an absolute innovation, like a miracle, really? Whereas in reality it was not. The rabbis expatiate very much upon this subject in the Midrash Koheles and in other writings. One of their statements in reference to this matter being, everything follows its natural course. In everything that they said, you will always find that the rabbis avoided referring to the divine will as determining a particular event at a particular time. Okay? So that's the idea that just olam kiminhago holy. Okay. One last paragraph with the Rambam. When, therefore, they said that the rabbis, when man rises and sits down in accordance with the will of God, doesn't mean to say God wills it every moment. But their meaning was that when man was first created, his nature was so determined that rising up and sitting down were to be optional to him. Whereas God put it in his nature to be able to do that. But they as little meant that God wills at any special moment that man should or should not get up, as he determines at any given time that certain stones should or should not fall to the ground. The sum and substance of the matter is then that thou shouldst believe that just as God willed that man should be upright in stature, broad chest, and have fingers, likewise that he willed that man should move or rest of his own accord, and that his actions should be such as his own free will dictates to him, without any outside influence or restraint, which God clearly states in the truthful law, when he says, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. The Targum explains the words, mimenu lada'as tov vara. Man has become the only being in the world who possesses a characteristic with no other being, which no other being has in common with him. What is his characteristic? Is that by and of himself, man can distinguish between good and evil, number one, and that which he pleases with absolutely no restraint. Since then this is so, it would have been very possible for him to have stretched out his hand and taking of the tree of life, to have eaten of this fruit, and thus live forever. So therefore, God met what the Rambam is clarifying is saying, yes, God created this ability for man to do it, but it's not that he does it every moment. And that becomes part of the nature of a man. A man can stand, a man can sit. And had God not created such a nature in man, man could never do it.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that God creates every moment for man to sit or for man to stand. So now we have to go to now Rav Dessler in source number 3. And he's trying to understand all this. And many people could misunderstand Rav Dessler over here. Because what have we always said in the Davening, Mechadish B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereishis, and that's what Mark is waiting for the answer. So let's say the Mich is very patient guy. So the Mich of Melio says in 3.
Every second he's created.
Kishana roim dvarim shetsurasim tishtane. When we see things that their shape changes. Nachshav she'atzmusam lo nishtana rak tzurasam. We don't think they actually changed. That's their shape. V'chol shekein adavar oda amon. Or anything that stands as it stands. To think that that which we see now is what we saw before. That's what we think. Of Elena Cain, it's not so. El Kamo, She Bri Noah, just like a motion picture. Asher Lamara Einenu Hatmuna Tisnoeya. According to what our eyes see, we see the camera, the picture moves. Ubemis Tmunios Rabos Hinasus. There's a lot of film. Pieces, what do you call those? One
frame.
Frames. One frame after another.
Oh, yeah.
Kain Gamba Bria. So that's setting in Bria. Because you're in the midst of that movement of time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechadish Tamid Mitzios Chadoshas Rabos Moz. Hashem creates new realities one after the other. And each one looks almost the same as the other one, with just a slight deviation. So it looks like one straight movement. And the same thing with cause and effect. The effect does not come from the cause. It's near it. But the real cause, Hiratzon Hashem Yisbrach, is the will of Hashem. Hamachadish Tamid Masa Breshis, who always renews the acts of creation. So, whoa! This sounds exactly Calamus talk. So how are we going to deal with this? So Rav Aryeh Carmel, who is very famous in publishing Rav Dessler's works, you'll see when you look for editor for all the English translation like that, it's Aryeh Carmel. So look at the topic of, you know, trying to match the Michta Melio with the Rambam. Michta Melio sounds like a Calamist.
Yeah.
Really, we all thought that way, that Hashem renews every moment of creation. So what's going on over here? So that's what he says on the right side over here. He says, Mayomar Hagon Rav Eliyahu Eliezer Desel. What's Rav Desel about this? Kimedumi, it appears to me. Shall afti mione hachitzoni kayame hevdalim mashmiyuse ben shitas anal ulhavtu ben shitas amadabrin ben yateva. It would seem that on the outside there should be some differences, but they're not. Shitas amadabrin hinei ka'omer. What did the medabrin, the calamists, they said, shein kol chukiyos, where there's no such laws of nature. But that the Rambam says, the Rambam says the Kalmas, they disagree with nature, and what we see contradicts what they're saying. And Agon Rav Eliezer, Eino Machshav Mukheshes, you're going to tell me he's contradicting what we see? He can't be doing that. He has to say, he's going to say there's no laws of nature? Of course he is. Aval Shores Hachukios Eino, it should be, I think, it must be a typo, that next word. Kechuk hateva elokaretz Hashem. But the laws of nature is not really the laws of nature, but it's the will of Hashem, which means in matzav abria bereka T1, the situation of reality at T1, meaning time one.
Yes.
Okay. Siba, it's not a reason, lamatzav abria bereka T2. It's not the cause of T2. Just like in the movie camera, the slides, the first slide does not cause the second slide. It's 2 second slides. Hasiba habiladis hein lamatzav shel T1, hein lamatzav shel T2, hi ratzon Hashem. Why is T1 T1 and T2 is T2? The will of Hashem. Okay? The will of Hashem, it's not nature. It's the will of Hashem. Avol zev, zechoshu, it's very important to know. Ratzon Hashem, the will of Hashem, who shehabamatzav shebeti two, the Ratzon Hashem in time two, yirabachol pratav kilu who subav adiyamatzav hati two one. It looks like cause and effect from T1 to T2. God created nature for it to look that T1 is the cause of T2. Okay. Zeh, but zeh, yeshonu bosseis mutzak l'chuki yeshonu mitzvah. Now we have a basis of the rules of nature that we see around us. Hu habosseis ha'ikyoni ha'yochid l'amrechas ha'tofash r'karim lo teva. That's the only base of teva. In other words, what he's saying is, you're right, the scientist, in other words, here's the Rambam, again, it's really, the Rambam says, let's not try to understand. If we have a problem resolving science and Torah, just means we don't understand them correctly. So what is science saying? Science saying, what do you mean? 1 second causes the next second.
Right.
Right? The Calamists say, no. T1 has nothing to do with T2. The only connection is one is come before the other, but it's not causing it. What Carmel is saying, what Rav Dessler means, is that really T1 is totally the will of Hashem. T2 is totally the will of Hashem. You know what the will of Hashem also is? That T1 should look like it's the cause of T2. And when people observe it, they'll understand it as T1 is the cause of T2. And therefore God, even though really there's no nature, but God created, his will was that it, the way nature looks, people will understand it that way. And they'll live that way. Even though emes, it's not so. Okay? Now, and now he's going to give you a proof from the Gemara, and this is a very great proof. This is a great proof. This is a gewaltig Gemara. I'm sorry, we're going to go maybe 5 minutes over. You got to give it to me. We ended early yesterday. Gemara says like this: Hare shegozel sozel. What if a guy steals a quantity of wheat? And now he plants it in the ground. Okay, according to the laws of God, you stole the wheat, you're planting in your backyard, should the wheat grow?
No.
According to the laws of God, according to God's will, should the wheat grow? No, you're a Russian. You stole someone's thing. Why should Hashem let the wheat grow? Bedinu shelo titzmach. Shouldn't grow. Elo oilam kiminhaganoik. But the world goes the way the world goes. Vishoitim shekilkalu, and idiots who damage it by stealing a seed in litan esedin. They're going to get judged for it sooner or later.
That's why someone can murder someone.
How about this one? Hare shabal eshkar. A man is doing adultery with a woman. So what should be the godly law? Dinhu shalot isver. There should be no pregnancy from it. Because that's the, it's going against God's will. Adultery, it's for sure. So, and if God's running the world, if God's going running the world, he doesn't want that kid to be born. Ela olam kiminhog nohag vaholek. But the world goes the natural way. Veshoitim shekilkula sidin litnas adin. And the fools that say, well, what do you want? They're going to get punished anyway. Amar kadosh baruch hu lo dayin l'shem. It's not bad enough that the Rishayim are doing sins. This is like a metaphor, so to speak. El Shematrichin, I'll say, they're bothering me. Umachtimi Mosiba, and forcing me to do things I don't want to do. That I'm going to have to give birth to an illegitimate child. But that's my gzera, that the world goes the way it goes.
That's part of free will.
So Lechora, last paragraph. But Zeh Nasu Chazal Bitum, this is where Chazal give us this expression. Yeah, the world goes in its normal way. But how do they couch it? Really, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. God does not want that to happen. But what does God do? He wills that it should go in that way. Really, this action should require a new decision from Hashem, shouldn't it? Aval hachlata sohi, but you know what God's decision is? Sha'olam kiminhago nohag v'holech. The world goes the way nature goes. Ain't ze stam teva. That's just not nature. El gzeira hi milafonai. It's a decree from God. Ach ain't ze potres arim echersom. But that doesn't excuse the actions, what he does. Rishayim shekilklo, the Rishayim who damage, at the end they're going to have to pay for that judgment. But once there's a gzeira, so then as it were, it's like they're forcing Hashem to make that happen. So what does that mean? In other words, Hashem conforms to man's decisions and allows them to happen. And that's why there is free will choice. So in other words, this is the line in between the philosophers and the Calamists. The Calamists are saying every second is created by God. That's true. They really are true in what they're saying. But they refuse to allow that to be called nature.
People can't believe that.
Now, the scientists say there's no God, there's just nature. And nature has to be predictable. Or unless there's an outside force. But that's also nature. The Rambam, and this could very be what Rav Dessler means over here. The truth is, the real truth is, every second is a miracle. Every second God does that. And there's no reason that the next second should be any different. Yeah. That's true exactly like the Calamists. Exactly. But the difference is...
Every second should be the same.
No.
Every second, God decides how it should be.
No reason it should be the same.
No reason. But now God decided that it should.
Right.
And now people observing will think it's nature. And that's how God wants it to be. But the difference is that God also wants you to know that you have free will choice. Yeah. That's what God wants also.
Act as if you have
free. But Hashem created that in a way that Hashem is... But even with your free will choice, you're forcing Hashem to do things that he wouldn't want to do because that's nature. Hashem does not want you to succeed in a sin. But we have to let the world run its course, or there'll be no free will choice.
Right.
And that's the difference. Man's free will choice is that exception to the rule. Okay, I think that's pretty clear, the distinctions. Wait, shtickle Calamist, shtickle scientist. Perception of science.
Do I have that?
Okay, sure.